Blog Talk Radio.
Tell them all about the time when your parents sat down and read these folk tales to you. That's right, we're talking about ancient Egyptians. We are connected to Egypt, if you didn't know it. We are part of ancient Africa. We are kings and queens. Here is where you get a chance to learn about the ancient fathers of the kings and queens and what we once were. Let me help you connect you back to the ancient times. Come on in and sit down. The literature of ancient Egypt is very interesting. We'll be talking about papyrus, scribes. We'll be talking about hieroglyphics, cuneiforms. All of these terms, I bet you haven't heard about these terms in a while or haven't thought about them. Why don't you come on in so we can talk about why the ancient Egyptian texts survived for so many centuries. And you can name some of the different types of religions that circulated throughout the literature in ancient Egypt. I bet you're wondering about Nefertiti. How about Queen Nzinga? She was one of our great fighting warriors. And how about Imhotep, the father of medicine? Yes, we're going to be talking about all those great ancient ones because they are the gods. We're going to bring the gods back to life. We're going to first summon some in the womb and bring them back to life and call their energies forth so that you and I can vibrate on one accord with these ancient ones. That's right, we are the Nomadic people. We are the people from the dark shade of the dirt and sand. We're going to call back the Nomadic people today and ask them to allow us to stand on their shoulders so that we can tell the story, the ancient story of how epics were made, traditional folk tales, proverbs, and epics. We're going to talk about all those. And boy, I went online and found all my friends who were storytellers. I wish they were here today. We're working on getting them here. It's going to take some time because they're busy. They're meeting and telling stories all over the nation. They're very much in demand. But hopefully, before the end of the month, on here talking about their experience as a storyteller and a folklore. That's right. National Poetry Month includes all the narrators, all the authors, the storytellers, the folklore, and the poets. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't think I was going to be on here all the time just talking about poetry, did you? This is a national literacy class, and we aim to close the gap of disparity of literature and pull together and bring African-American into literacy and reading. Parents, you ought to be excited. You get another opportunity to talk to your children about the ancient one. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As I carry on, thank you so much for joining me this evening. You have Omeika 7 in the Care to Read room. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing has changed. It's business as usual. We are still celebrating Teacher Appreciation Day, National Library Day, and National Poetry. We're going to pull all that together and tie it up and bring our storytellers and our folklorists in on this thing. You know we can't do the arts from the right side of the brain without bringing in the storytellers. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat for you this evening. Now, I know I said I was going to have my guest here today, but my guest is not ready to come and be a part of the program just yet. We're still working on that. Nevertheless, before the end of the month, we will have one of those storytellers come in and tell you a personal story, a story of their life, or maybe even one of the stories that they tell, like Aesop's Fables, for instance. We're going to be telling one of Aesop's Fables today. Now, let me get right into our talking cure because we have little time and we don't want to have to miss that bus. So let me do my pouring of libation and let's go into the talking cure. I set a glass aside for my mother's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I set a glass aside for my father's side of this family, and I say, Ashe. I pour libation to the east, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say, Ashe. And I pour libations to the south, and I say, Ashe. I wash my face with the water, because I cannot greet the ancestors with a stale face. We are calling on the ancient ancestors today, ladies and gentlemen. If you are not standing, stand to your feet. We cannot do this program alone without them. We're going to call Inhotep. We're going to call Queen Nziga. And we're going to call all the ancient ones to help us to do the show. So stand to your feet. Let me wash my face. Now that I'm all cleaned up for the ancient ones, I like to call the ancestors to be present here today, to be recognized today. I call forth the ancient ancestors of the Kemetic people, Queen Nzinga. I call forth Inhotep to be present here with all of his mentors. I call forth each and every one of them to allow us to stand on their backs today as we present the ancient tradition of the literature of ancient Egyptian. And we say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a great feature story for you today, the literature of the ancient Egyptian. Now, I noticed it said we have a guest coming. Our guest did not respond just yet. We're hoping for the end of, before the end of this month, they will respond, and we're going to have some storytellers and some poets come in to talk with us about their literary art. Now, this story that I'm doing is the literature of tradition, and as an introduction, as I told you, we're going to take the literature. This literature, ancient information, is coming from African American literature book, the teacher's manual. The material that I'm going to present to you today is the literature of the ancient Egyptian, and I would like for you to get this information, and if you can get the books and look up on page 76 to 82. There's three sections that's devoted to the oral tradition. What do I mean by oral tradition? I mean you are going to talk and express and tell stories. This is a folkloric section of the tradition, which begins on page 83. It talks about how we pass stories down by oral tradition. Following the introduction is the Proverbs. Proverbs can also be found in your Bible, like reading the Psalms. And in this Proverbs, you're going to find it on 92 and all the way to page 96. Then there are folk tales on 97 through 117. Finally, there are the epics on 118 to page 125. I want you to familiarize yourself with what an epic is and how it's written and how a folklore is written. Now, how many of you have ever learned about the authors, the African-American authors? How many of you would like to learn more about them? In this literary session, we're going to be covering the ancient Egyptian. Now, here's some terms that I'd like for you to put in your memory bank. Cuneiform, you're going to find that. You're going to find pictograph, hieroglyphics. You're going to find papyrus and scribe. Okay, from these words, you are going to learn more and more about ancient Egyptian and what advantage did papyrus have over clay tables. I want you to be able to name some of the religions and the particular literature in the ancient Egyptian. And why have ancient Egyptian texts survived so many ancient years over other traditions? Why? We're going to be looking at that. Now, Pharaoh Akhenaten, that's what we're going to be talking about today. The hymn to the Anton is the story. Now, this lesson aims at to recognize the praise song as a form of African poetry, to identify and appreciate imagery, to understand the apostrophe as a figure of speech. Not, it's a figure of speech for African America. We use a lot of quotations and apostrophes, and we're constantly dittoing this and emphasizing that. Now, I want you to put the puzzle together and understanding a parenthesis. Why do we use parenthesis? What do we use that for in the brackets, an eclipse in a poem? What are they used for? Why do we make the words large on the page? Are we trying to yell or speak out at someone? All of these are examples. I want you to come up with your own, ladies and gentlemen. Now, let me go on here. One of the things I want to go over with you is the hymns. The hymns open up with an apostrophe. a figure of speech in which Anton is addressed directly, as it is something exciting. In this opening passage, the raising of the sun is associated with beauty. What is the association with the setting of the sun? Do you know? Read on. Keep reading. When you begin to read the next stanza, you'll find out. When you get your book, I want you to look for that. The setting sun is associated with death, ladies and gentlemen. It actually is associated with death. What characteristics of the gods are praised in the hymn? Well, Anton has praise for his beauty and benevolence and his power to create life and to make things grow from driving away the darkness and bringing the light. That's right. And when you go to line 33 in the poet, you will see, "Thou didst create the world according to thy desire," and I quote. And according to the poet, what is the purpose of creation? Why did he say we needed creation? Anton created the world for his son, he said, the king of Egypt and the royal family. In line 48 through 52, you'll find that. Giving you some clues, ladies and gentlemen, so you can help yourself. This assignment is also good for those high school students. This is not for my middle schoolers, but high school students and parents. This hymn was probably composed to be recited. You can read it out loud. I wish you would. What makes the poem effective? What makes the poem effective is when you read it out aloud, orally, in a presentation. I wish you would care to read and just read it out aloud. The poet uses parentheses and repetition of phrases and construction, which creates strong rhythm and gives emphasis to key ideas. Now, you know how we like the rhythm and the beat. Let's keep the rhythm of the beat. 1, 2. So we got to get the rhythm going in our poetry. Now, I want you to also note that this poet repeats patterns over in line 9 through 10 and 40 through 41, for example. Now, after you've done all this, you might want to write a draft for yourself. Now, this is where Omi's going to ask those high schoolers to write a draft. I'm going to suggest it. I can't demand it. Only suggesting. Look at me. I got my hands up. I'm not holding you to anything, but if you want to be able to understand what's going on in your literary writing, write a draft. Okay. I want you to underline for me the verbs, the adjectives, and the adverbs while you're writing this. Then I want you to turn to your dictionary, your friendly dictionary and your thesaurus. Find the dictionary and thesaurus, which are more vivid and precise in replacing these words. I want you to replace these words that you have been used, like cuneiform and like hieroglyphics, okay? For additional information, you may refer to pages 193 to 195. Now, if you don't ever get these books, so what? But if you can get out to the library, go out there and get it. I'm sure you will find it very extensive. I want you to locate some kind of ancient Egyptian literature and bring the examples back to class to talk to me about it. Okay, I want to refer you to some information on page 78. You can find some information there, or your own if you don't have the book. And the students who are interested in the mythology, you can report on the ancient mythology, the major Egyptian gods and the goddess. Go out and find the gods and goddess and learn about them. You more ambitious students, the ones that are highly challenged and like to do these things, you can do this extra work, okay? You do a comparison of the figures such as the Egyptians, mythology, and the classical norms, or the Native American mythology. Do the comparison and write about it, and then write on me and tell me about it. Now, again, the materials that you might see and the words, I want to alert you to indigenous languages on page 83. Moonlight plays on 85. Call and response. Now, remember I taught you about the call and response. Remember I taught you the song, "While I Live on This Earth, I Will Hasten to the Throne." And we did a song, "I Love the Lord." And then you answer back and say,
because he heard my cry. That's a call and response. And there are many more. Think about them. Okay. Now, those are some things I want you to look at. What two important developmental effects African writing in the 19th century? Think about what affects those African ancients writing. They didn't have the tools. That was one thing. What roles are played by storytellers, ladies and gentlemen? You know, the storytellers were very, very important in the ancient days. What roles did they play as African community workers? They were required to pass down the oral tradition. They were the one to pass the baton. What is moonlight plays? I want you to find that out and come back and tell me. What does storytelling include in addition to the use of words? Storytellers also have prompts, and they act, and they play, and they do one-stage plays, and they create different voices for themselves and different characters. How does a storyteller and their audience interact? When I'm telling a story, I catch the glimpse of one person's eye. I hold their attention, and I play right into their hands and act as if I'm speaking directly to them. And I pull from them, and then I deduce the knowledge that's already in them. And I get them to rise their eyebrows and fall their eyebrows and agree with me as I am speaking, and we become connected because I'm waiting for him to give me the information I need, and he is gradually giving me information to keep the audience rise and fall. What are the functions of associated with this type of call and response? Why do Africans need this? Because we're considered as one body, and we figure the body reacts together. And why are the poets and musicians of Uganda both loved and feared? Because they have the ability to recreate the universe. When they are creating their love, when they can take away, they are also feared. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to spend some time with the elders to talk about oral tradition and have your elder uncles and fathers and mothers go to the library with you and pass that baton on and give you the oral tradition of the stories. That's right. Every family has an oral story that they passed on down the line. Get your family members to sit with you and pass their oral stories down. Now, African proverbs. The aim of this is to recognize characteristics and functions of proverbs and to compare African English proverbs and to write fables illustrating proverbs. Now, what is a proverb? You can find these in the Bible. They are lessons that are learned, fables that are taught. Now, as I look at some of the lessons that are offered, opportunity to discuss the similarities among proverbs, their morals and their epics, and all these forms emphasize bravery and wisdom. You may wish to refer to the section again when you're teaching, and you can teach this to your students, and you can teach it to teachers. You can teach this to your older children, okay? And let them teach the story. Now, they need to have prior knowledge, and they bring in the prior knowledge about their experience in church and how they've read the Proverbs, maybe the Psalms. And you may ask students about how a proverb might come into being. How does the proverb come into being? What role are played by this? What are the proverbs for? And ask the student, is it something you must experience so that you can learn a lesson, and have the students understand what a proverb is. Now, in responding to the selection, interpreting the meaning, I want you to look at page 96, which African proverbs suggests a parallel to the following saying: when the cat's away, the mice will play. Now, what are they saying? They're simply saying the master is absent and the frog hops into the house. Then again, another one. People live in glass houses should not throw stones, I quote. Ashes fly back into the face of him who throw them, I quote. And it goes on and says, and I quote, the early bird catches the worm. The horse who arrives early gets good drinking water, I quote. And on it says, and I quote, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You do not teach the path of the forest to an old gorilla, I quote. And I quote, speech silver, but silence is golden. The fool speaks the wise man listens, I quote. Out of sight, out of mind, absence make the heart forget, I quote. And I quote, think before you speak. Do not say the first thing that comes to your mouth, I quote. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. By trying often, the monkey learns to jump from the tree, I quote. And I quote, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. He who hunts two rats catches none, I quote. Don't wash your dirty, I quote, don't wash your dirty linen in public. Home affairs are not talked about on the public square, I quote. And finally, I quote, there is safety in numbers. Cross the river in a crowd and the crocodile won't eat you, I quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are just some quotes that you can write down. And some of you seniors and high school students, quote these things. It'll help you develop wisdom. Which African proverb suggests the opposite of these sayings? For example, I quote, absent makes the heart grow fonder. Absent makes the heart forget, I quote. And another one, I quote, watch pot never boil. If you watch your pot, your food will not burn, I quote. And I quote, clothes make the man. When a man is wealthy, he may wear an old coat, an old cloth, I quote. Sticks and stones may break my bone, but words will never hurt me. A cutting word is worse than a boiling, or a cut may heal, but the cut of the tongue does not, I quote. Where ignorance is bliss, I quote, 'tis folly will be wise. Not to know is bad, not to wish to know is worse, I quote. Now, these are just some old sayings. Put them in your peace pipe and smoke on that, you seniors. And I don't mean literally smoking either. Now, in creating your fables, composing fables, you're going to find that on page 96. Teachers, you want to divide these seniors up into small groups and have the students read a proverb out loud. That's right, seniors. You need to be able to read and articulate out loud. And I'm talking to all you juniors and seniors. Then have the others tell an impromptu story. What do I mean, impromptu? Off the top of your head, you know, like we do freestyle when you're freestyling. Tell the story off the top of your head. And with the proverbs as the moral, have a proverb as your moral. After some of this brainstorming, ladies and gentlemen, your activity should be fit and ready to present. But you must do the impromptu. And teachers, you want to have the students choose proverbs to develop into fables. Now, what's the difference? The fables are different. Now, they say African Americans have traditions, and they pass on these traditions. Teachers and mothers, you're going to have to pass on the tradition. For the extension enrichment, for those who are very bright and need more, parents and teachers, you may have the student investigate fables by Aesop's Fable, one of the ones I'm going to read today, and La Fontaine. Adventurous students might be directing to stories like John Gay's 51 Fables in various Rutan, Clipson, and Just So Stories. And some students may also be familiar with the James Thurber Fable for Our Time. Now, these are fables you can choose. Go on and read them, ladies and gentlemen, and have the students get involved in reading the fables so that they can come back in the class and they can teach you more about what the fable is opposed to what an epic is. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been very, very patient in waiting with me, but I'd like to say something to you right now, and I hope you're standing to your feet. Silence! Stand perfectly still. You have awakened me from my final sleep, my eternal journey across the river of sleep. From this spirit world, I am able to see all things past and all things up to the present. So who are you? Are you among those who wish to know where and from whom I came? Are you among those who wish to know why my reward is glory? Then behold me. I who am called Imhotep, which in the tongue of my people means he who comes in peace. I am chief ritual priest. I walk in the footsteps of the gods. Look at me and feel my inner beauty. which comes from me, striving to be the very best I can be. See, my very blackness celebrates the glory of the Supreme One. I, as all other priests, have even shaved my head so that my black skin can more fully absorb their sun rays. I am Kemite, a black and proud race of people currently called Egyptian. However, I prefer to call myself and my people by our own Kemet, from the black land Kemet. My father is Kenofer, a distinguished servant of Pharaoh Zophar. My mother is Kenof, a great lady of noble birth from the city of Mendes. I was born in Inkop, which means life of the two lands and the upper and lower Kemet. Kenof is near Memphis, the seat of Zophar power. We black of Kemet and the black land were created in the image of the Supreme One, the creator of the heavens and earth. He is the one who created light out of blackness. Blackness exists before anything ever was. My people are religious people. We believe that strength, wisdom, and courage comes from worshiping our ancestors and natural elements in our religion. We have priests and scribes who impart divine wisdom and provide instructions on the particularities of life. Two religious figures in particular are my mentors and encourage me. Thoth, the god of divine intelligence and healing, is the one who inspired my work of medicine. Yes, he is the one who inspired my medicine. Ptah is the spirit which I rely on for direct and even areas of life, every area. He helps me see the relationship between people, things, and events. In the Kemetic faith, the snake is the symbol of resurrection. Because the shedding of the old skin represents a new life, Thoth carries the staff on which the serpent is wrapped. In my faith, we have general gods. We have the sun, the moon, and the earth goddess. They help us understand the universe. I rely on them to understand how things and people are to function within the universe. Through our faith and reliance on Thoth and Ptah, we Kemites became great priests and philosophers, scholars, engineers, mathematicians, scientists, astrologers, and physicians. But it was our work and our inventions of medicine which yield us and held us as the first greatest scientist nation. The art of healing has always been part of Kemetic history, and experienced Kemetic physicians were at the forefront of developing medicine and healing. We realize the treatment of a single disorder. We believe that it is better to know all about one part of the anatomy. Therefore, some physicians cure diseases and injuries of the head, and others of the teeth, then others of the eyes, and others of the intestine, and so on and so far. We are great doctors and surgeons as well. We mastered the science and pathology. We are well known for our mummification process. As a medical scientist, we discovered that the heart is the seat of everyone's consciousness, intellect, and emotion. Therefore, the dictation of the heart can influence the function of the body. Through our work and research, we also discovered drugs and other pharmaceutical products that help heal the body. For example, we use copper salts as antiseptics and African plants called aloe for soothing the healing body. Our libraries are overflowing with papyrus paper on medical procedures. Why then am I called the father or the mother of medicine? It is because I took the physician of old and the others that came before me as my role models. I studied medical procedures. I studied medical literature. I lived in the libraries, and I became so well-versed that I could embellish the procedures and literature with my own observation and discoveries. Now, none other than myself embodied more fully the finest and highest Kemetic medicine. I am known as the world's first multi-genius, and I am first among the physicians. I am the epic of the scientists and clinical priestess position to the Happy Valley, the valley which foreigners call the Nile. I am known as the greatest healer because I perfected the art of medicine and have written many papyruses on healing. I am he who is called Imhotep. From the midst of iniquity comes Imhotep myself, the god of medicine, long before the days of the Indus and the Israelites and Egyptian, long before the days of Hippocrates, and lived in Imhotep. From the Egyptians made a god. He was the first recognized multi-genius in history, I said. By recording his observation and writings, medicine, treatments, and diseases, he laid the foundation, what we now know as medicine. And by building the step pyramid at Sephra, he became initiator of the stone pyramid. I am he who's called Imhotep. Behold me. I got to get on the bus right now. It's time to get out of here. Why don't you come on with me and get on the bus so we can leave out of here? Let's go. Imhotep is a step for me. Gentlemen, this is just a beginning of a three-part series, and we're going to be covering other epics, and we will have storytellers in the room so they can tell you how they best utilize their gifts in the community. As a storyteller, I'm obligated to read to you and tell you stories and to pass on traditions. Yes, I am a folklore. That's right. I'm a noted folklore, an international folklore. I tell stories. Now, our biggest effort is to get a gentleman in the room by Teju Olaboni, one of my old partners who I used to debate with on the stage. That's right. We're trying to get him in the room to tell his stories, but we can't seem to find him. So if anybody out there knows where Teju Olaboni is, please give him up and offer him up. He's been assigned to be king for a day. He hasn't showed up. Just like Melvin said, he hasn't showed up. He's absent without leave. But we want him in this room so he could talk about storytelling. And for you guys who like storytelling, I'm going to give you a lot of it. Next time I'm going to do something for my preschoolers. I meant to do something today, but we didn't have the time for our preschoolers today. I had a little short story for them. But we're not going to mix all this stuff in together. This is for our high school student and for you teachers who are trying to implement ancient Egyptian. And remember to always tell your students that Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt is in Africa. Egypt, Egypt, Egypt is in Africa. Don't forget that, ladies and gentlemen. You won't find it anywhere else on the map. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is a three-part series, and we're going to cover the epics and the folklore and more storytelling on this traditional occasion. And we want you poets, narrators, storytellers, lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And for you teachers out there who are using this as a lesson in your classroom, I would definitely urge you to do so, to use it with your older students and incorporate it in their literature as extra credit, of course. And OMI insists that they do the draft and write, collect that information, go back and do the comparisons, and use that thesaurus and dictionary to decipher those words like cuneiform, papyrus, and go and do the work so you can find out about your ancient ancestors. Remember, we have summoned them here in this room. They're watching over you to make sure you perfect your work in the classroom, young students, you high school students. This segment was specifically set aside for teachers and high school students. I hope the students that are children that are elementary are in bed and not thinking that this is for them is not age appropriate, only for the older student. This is extra credit. So get out there and get that extra credit. In the future, OMI wants to be able to give you courses that will give you college credit, CEUs, continuing education. That's what I'm used to giving. So for your time, you can come right in this room and have a discussion. Thank you so very much for listening to me and being a part of my show. I do appreciate your time, all of you followers who've been following me so faithful. Keep Twittering me. Keep following me. And OMI's going to take you somewhere, I promise you. Just stay on the bandwagon. Get on the bus. Get your fare ready. And just hang out with OMI. And hopefully you'll be able to discover some great things about literacy. Because I am the literacy coach, the early literacy coach. So we want to get those babies reading. If you go out on my website, go out and look at the Twitter. It'll tell you to go out to the new website. I got something for the mothers out there and for the babies, because babies can read. They're my favorite. I love working with the preschoolers because I know I can make a genius out of them, a multi-genius, as they learn to decipher and decode words and enunciate and call and response. They will be reading soon. So we want to close the gap for literacy and get all those children reading, starting from the womb to the tomb. We're starting with from birth to age 3 as we begin to teach them how to pronounce words and read. Mothers, go out to the website. There's tons of material out there for you teachers and mothers. I've been working very hard to give this to my community. This is for my families. OMI works for you. I am your service. Whatever you need, I am your emperor, here to serve you. I like to say good night on that note, and I say, oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.